I haven't wanted to say anything, but like, I've been like low key kind of like, oh, there it is. Oh, it's really good.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Sharon Steitler, the bird chick. She talks with us about how her mom had more difficulty finding out she was an atheist than that she was getting a divorce.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hi, I'm over here.
And Molly Glover.
Hello.
And our returning guest is friend of the show, Sharon Steitler, a.k.a. the Bird Chick.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Sharon, you've been with us before to talk about birding and the whole kind of religious aspect of stewardship of nature that happens in the birding communities.
Yes, and how I was a closet atheist, and I'm not so closet anymore now.
Yeah, girl!
Yeah, high fives!
But part of that closet atheism is something you kind of had to deal with recently, and we wanted to talk about it on today's podcast.
Happy to do it.
How's it going, Sharon?
You know, it's going pretty well for a person going through a divorce in a pandemic.
Hey.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, justified race riot happening.
Don't forget about that. The uprising. Just no big deal. Just divorcing from your husband of more than 2 decades during a pandemic in the middle of an uprising.
Yeah. Rebellion, we call it.
A rebellion, yes. Yeah. And I just remember the first night when I think it was AutoZone caught fire, and I was like, Minneapolis is literally on fire with justifiable rage. I understand.
Yeah, right. And
yeah. Things have been hard, but some things go well, you know. I just got a new bathtub, so that I've got that.
Hey.
Nice.
Got Molly's attention right away.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. I've been telling people one of the hardest things to do is when you have to reveal to your family members that you're getting a divorce. And so the day I finally told my mom that it was happening, she didn't take the news well, which was understandable. There's no good way to take that news. And she was asking about what we were doing, you know, counseling we were seeking. And I mentioned what I was doing, and I was mentioning what my ex-husband was doing. And mom said, she's like, well, how's Bill going to do that? He's an atheist. And because I was in such an emotional state and in a very unguarded state, I said, oh, mom, he's not the atheist. I'm the...
Oh!
So she knows.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And I mean, she had like a couple years ago, she was really sick and I was in the hospital room with her. She's fine now. But one of my super religious cousins came in, and he's not Christian Science like my mom. He's.
Right. I forgot your mom's Christian Science, and she was in the hospital. That's actually really amazing.
She was a nurse. You remember her mom?
But she went to the
okay, so she went back. The reason I took up diamond painting was because, yeah, Christian Science mom who's, you know, got congestive heart failure and colon cancer and doesn't want to go to the hospital. But it was interesting during that period, like watching her talk with the doctors about different treatment options. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. And it's like, hey, there's this tumor. It's like, oh, that has to go. That can go, but I'm not doing anything else. And so it was like, you could watch her nurse brain kick in and talk to the doctor, but then it would immediately go back to Christian Science. And it was very clear this doctor has dealt with Christian Scientists before, and he just rolled with it.
Yeah.
But
so your cousin.
Yeah, my cousin, he's in the room, and he's telling me about all the mission trips that his kids are taking to Cuba and Honduras. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm glad they're getting to see a third world country so they know that there's something other than here. I was just like, you know, I'm trying to be as positive about it as I can. And he's like, So what about you? What brand of Christian are you? You know, did Christian Science take? Are you evangelical? And I said, I'm a free agent. And I was like, this is not a conversation I want to have in my mom's hospital room when she's laying in the bed right there. And mom piped up and she's like, oh, Sam, don't even bother. She's an agnostic. And I was like, oh, so close.
So close.
So close.
Just like that.
And I was like, if she can take that A word, we'll deal with it. But then, yeah, the divorce happened and the big A word came out. And then the conversation immediately shifted from, oh my God, this is terrible divorce, to, why are you an atheist? What happened? What went wrong? What? And for weeks after that, every time she'd call to check in on me, how you doing? What's up? Where are you living now? Okay. Okay. Can I ask you a question? Why are you an atheist again?
How did you talk to her about it?
I just told her that I said, you know, I said, remember when I was a little kid and you were showing me Cosmos with Carl Sagan? And remember the day you looked over at me and you said, I hate to say it, but I think he might be an atheist. I think that's a danger that happens when people study too much. Like they get so into science, they lose track of religion. And I said, that struck me because I was like, it's kind of like where my brain's been going, mom. But, I said, you know, you see enough of the natural world, you see all how religions are similar and how they use it to control people. And so she didn't get it. And then one day she called me out of the blue. It was actually right at the beginning of the pandemic when she couldn't go to church, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
And scientists.
Oh, we all thought it was hilarious.
So she said, I just called because I was reading the lesson. And I was thinking, I was like, you're only an atheist in name only. And I said, well, no. And she said, no. And she started listing all the Christian values. And she's like, you believe in love, right? And I was like, sure. And she's like,
read the room, mom.
I mean, they did once.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I love people who are comfortable enough to make divorce jokes. Thank you. But she, you know, she was just going, she's like, you don't steal. You treat people how you want to be treated. You know, she's like, you're just an atheist in name only. You really are Christian. You just want to say you're atheist. And I was like, mom, you know, you can be all those things without having an invisible sky fairy.
Yeah.
Oh, did you say it. Invisible sky fairy?
Yeah, she did not like it.
No, I wouldn't think she would. That's good, though.
She probably wouldn't like it if you said that she was really a Christian in name only, because atheists, you think that this life is worth living. Yeah, you believe that we should treat each other with kindness. You think that we should, you know,
the human life is precious.
Yeah, and, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's come to terms with it. And I think honestly, like what is really freaking her out about it with a lot of religious people is that she's accepted death. She's ready for death. And, you know, she's looking forward to seeing all her family members and friends who have died when she dies. And I think the idea of like, I may not see my daughter when I die. Whereas I find it immensely comforting that we just stop. It's like,
yes, right? Well, and also just the thought that ever since I was a little kid, I got very confused by that whole everyone you ever loved or whoever loved you is in heaven. Because I remember asking my mom, like, so if two people both love me and I don't love them back, are they in heaven with me? Like, do I have to be in heaven with them? And she was like, I don't know. That's a lot.
What if someone gets remarried?
Yeah,
are in heaven, and it's like which spouse or both? Yeah, or how does that? Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's a whole different discussion about polyamory, but.
So it's interesting to me that when she thought you were undecided, that was less of an issue. As soon as you went to atheist and you had like a concrete opinion that no God at all. That was her issue. Like it to some people, it seems like splitting hairs and like, oh, atheist, agnostic, whatever, you're a non-believer. But to her, that seemed like a really important distinction.
Well, and from when I remember going to the Christian Science Church, bonus, you know, God is androgynous. It's father, mother, God, but it's a very forgiving God. You know, it's like, even if you don't believe, it's all okay. You know, even if you steal and stuff, you're just not realizing your true spiritual identity. You know, there's no hell. But there was one day when she got really angry with me about this. And she's like, I don't know how to comfort you if you don't pray. And I was like, oh, Mom, prayer has never been a comfort to me. It's just been a chore and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I know that feeling. Oh, my gosh. I remember when we went to the Temple of Ek and we had to do the hue thing for 20 minutes. I nearly went nuts.
What's really interesting about that, Sharon, is that she doesn't know how to comfort you because of this. You don't do this one thing.
Yeah.
And beyond that, she's at a loss, right, which is really interesting coming from a nurse, you know, like, because, I mean, for real, because like that's something that is part of the job is comfort and bedside manner. And also she's your mother. I mean, I guess first question, cause I don't remember. Has she always been a Christian Scientist?
No. As proof of her first marriage, she was Catholic because she had 7 kids with her first husband.
Sure.
After that divorce, she found Christian Science, and it was already in the family. But I mean, my mom can.
I'm sorry, that sounds like a birth defect.
Yes, genital.
Already in the family.
You don't want to marry me. I've got Christian Science in my family.
I'm not, but it's only kids on my dad's side. It's only on my dad's side. It skips a generation.
I'm not having kids. There's too high of a risk for Christian Science.
My mom is a tremendously comforting person. And I mean, sure, she can make great jokes. And when you're sick, and I just remember the thing, like whenever I was sick, she would like give me some verses to read to kind of meditate on. Okay. But I think when it comes to things like emotional pain and psychological pain, there's no pill or anything in her brain that can fix that. So when you're in emotional pain, the only thing that really you can do is just pray or go to God. Whereas I'm like, I can go walking, or better yet, I can go bike riding and work my shit out there. But I realize that it's like, she's just like, I don't know what to do. And now I don't know if I'm going to see you when you die.
Did she say it in so many words that about being worried that she wouldn't see you when she dies or when you die?
No, she didn't. That's just something I've learned when she talks. Cause like one of the things that was hard when she got sick a couple years ago was, I mean, she had just lost 2 of her sisters who were 2 of the closest people in her life. And that was a big part of her socialization network. And so you could tell she was like, I want to go join them. I don't want to stay. I love you all, but I want to move on with everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so heavy. And it's interesting that you said Christian Science is like, oh, if you steal, that's okay. You'll figure it out. And if you're an unbeliever here and there, that's okay. You'll figure it out. But no medicine, like no vaccinations, no medicine, no medical intervention. It's just such an interesting juxtaposition.
Well, and what mom was always an interesting juxtaposition because she was a nurse from the time I was born. So I did get vaccinations. Well, there were a couple of vaccinations because in the divorce, I'm going through like old history stuff. And I did find a school thing, and I couldn't figure out what vaccination it was for, but said declined because of religious reasons. But I know I had the chickenpox vaccine. And I remember when I would get sick, it would be like, well, we could go to the doctor and you could get pills, but really God's going to heal you anyway. And like the biggest, I think, rebellion I probably ever had was when I had my tonsils out. I started getting abscesses on the back of my mouth. And the doctor said, you know, these are just going to get worse and she's going to have them, these tonsils. This kid really does need the tonsils taken out. And I remember, you know, mom looking at me and she's like, we could pray. And I said, no, I don't like these abscesses. And I remember driving home and mom's just kind of looking ahead and she's like, of all my 8 kids, you're the first one that's not going to have their tonsils. And it was just like her processing that information.
Huh. But Sharon, your tonsils won't be in heaven with everyone else's tonsils.
No, Molly, I think you're wrong. I think her tonsils are already there.
Oh, they're waiting for you.
They're waiting for you, Sharon. I mean, they want to be reunited with you.
While we're talking about acceptable medication.
Oh.
Yes. she drinks her wine.
when I was, I think about 15, I told my mother about an incident that had happened with a young man. And mm-hmm. then not long after that, mom's like, I think we need to get you some acne treatment. And you know what? Ortho-tricycline works really well for that.
It's super good for acne. It's fixed mine.
I'm sure it yeah, has.
But great. I mean,
it's like,
that's great.
That's acceptable medication. It's for acne.
That's, but well, like, I mean, she had 8 kids, right?
So. Yeah. I'm sure that, I mean, as a former Catholic and now Christian Scientist, like, abortion is super way off the table.
Oh, so, it's on the table. Oh, is no, it really? My mom's very pro-choice. Very.
Interesting.
I mean, my really? Mom, she is a complex woman. I mean, she's
yeah.
science stuff, but I mean, she is... I love my mom. She's just one gigantic dichotomy. But yeah, no, she's very pro-choice.
And it's more complicated.
She worked as a nurse and she saw how badly it can go.
That I can. Yeah, I think that. So my mom has always been like very pro-abortion, like not even just pro-choice, but pro-abortion. I didn't know until I was older that she had an abortion at like 17, which was like 6 months after Roe passed. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that for her that was always so important was that it never even occurred to her that she would not, that she would carry that pregnancy through. And mm-hmm. she wanted to make it very clear to me that like from probably way too young of an age, like she was like, just so you know, if you ever get pregnant, you can have an abortion. And I'm like, kindergarten's tomorrow. And she's like, I'll support you. And I'm well, like,
there'll
okay.
be boys there.
Yeah. Like, but I can see that being, you know, if you've had an experience, you know, I mean, having 8 kids, having, you know, that experience and seeing other women go through these terrible births or whatever, you know, and being like, not my kid. You know, like that's yeah. not going to happen to her.
It's,
yeah.
Well, I was going to say with my mom, it wasn't even like terrible births. I mean, she saw botched home abortions.
And oh shit!
So that's when she was like, no. This needs to be an option.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I feel like the difference between agnosticism, and I was going to mention this earlier, but I feel like the difference between agnosticism and atheism is that idea that you can pull somebody back from agnosticism. There's still a chance, but atheism is like, well, they flipped the switch. And I can't get it back on again.
It's the only unforgivable sin.
It's
the only unforgivable sin is just to deny God.
If you're agnostic, there's a chance they could find the right Bible verse for you.
Yep.
Or you know, you'd hear the right logical argument.
Or more likely, the wrong thing will happen to
yeah.
you that will make you decide, actually, I would rather hedge my bets. It's that Pascal's wager thing.
There are no agnostics in foxholes.
But that, you know, Tim, I'm not sure if there are.
But that Pascal's wager idea that, like, you know, well, I mean, if there could be a God, maybe what I should say is I don't know, as opposed to I'm sure, you know. And I think that's something that holds a lot of people back. I'm not trying to say there aren't genuine agnostics, because obviously there are people who just genuinely don't know, and they say they can't know. And, you know, honestly, none of us technically know. So, I mean, like, if you want to get down to the nitty gritty, we're all agnostics who are just putting our opinion, you know, on something. But it's, I find it really interesting that for some reason, like you said, that A word is okay. And the other A word is like a, it kind of.
Yeah, because, I mean, mom would always be like, if somebody decided they were Catholic or if somebody decided that they were, you know, Methodist, she's like, well, it's all same brand. That's fine.
How does she feel? How does she feel about Jews, Muslims, other Abrahamic religiosity?
Oh, she thinks, you know, that's fine. That's just the way you pray. It's just because I remember too as a kid being like, I ended up at a Catholic service, and I was like, Mom, they say the Lord's Prayer different, and because I think like in Christian Science, it's
trespasses
versus debts, you know,
or sins. Yep.
Yeah, I was like, what's this whole trespass thing? And mom's like, oh, you know, it's just, it's the same thing. Just different languages. You know, there's just, you know, doctors.
Tower of Babel.
During the service.
Yeah.
Different there's translations.
Great, yeah.
There's this great show called Moral Oral that it's claymation. Yes. Yeah. And there's an episode where Moral's family or Oral's family finds a family exactly like theirs, exactly the same down to the ages of the kids, except that they go to a church where they say, forgive us our debts. And they go to a church that says, forgive us our trespasses. And they're like, that's it. We can't be friends. The kids get along.
The adults get along. The two little sibling brothers get along.
And they just cut it off.
The families are so similar that the little brothers actually end up swapping families and no one notices, except for the older siblings. And for the rest of the show, they just have the other kid there.
But it's just that they go to church together. And it's
That's the last straw. They say trespasses.
Yep, they go to church together. It's like, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. And the one family's like, oh, what? And they stand up. They're like, no.
Yeah.
It's great.
Man. It sounds like she's kind of come to grips with it. Like, it sounds like she's, I mean, she loves you, you're a daughter. Mm-hmm. She's dealing with it. Do you think she'll ever be totally over it in a way?
No, because like with dating, she definitely will let me know who she likes and who she doesn't like. Mm. And there's one in particular that she likes, and she's like, does he go to church? And I'm like, he's the biggest atheist as I am, Mom.
Yeah. I guess I'm not familiar with how Christian Science feels about divorce. Are they, I mean, I would imagine they're fine with it since your mom's been divorced. And that's probably, I'm assuming that's why she left the Catholic Church. Because that's why my father left.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mom had to leave.
Yeah.
Christian Science lets everybody in. And, you know, when I was growing up, there was some talk about how the power of prayer could cure you of gayness. Not like some of the camps, but it's just
not like beating it out of you.
No. I mean, if anything, they're boring you to death.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say boring it out of you. Yes.
Be a heterosexual. Yeah. In exciting times like this, you could be a heterosexual. Well, we all sit in a room together and don't touch.
But, you know, in Christian Science, you're not supposed to drink. You're not supposed to smoke. They made my mom a member, even though she did both of those things. So, I mean, it's a very relaxed, non-judgmental, it's like, in their brain, it's like, you just don't know that you're the perfect image and likeness of God. You don't know that you're like Jesus. That's all. You'll figure it out one day.
I mean, you're white, so you're just
I really like the idea of God smoking.
out back of
heaven being like, God, like, damn it, Jesus. God, he just drives me nuts.
If kids gonna fucking kill me, I mean, I'm gonna fucking kill me. I mean, fuck.
Jesus on the cross, and he's like, Peter, just give me a light. Just like my hands. I can't do this.
The burning bush was tobacco.
Oh.
Yeah.
Marijuana. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Yep.
Fantastic. Sharon, this has been great. Talking about this, thanks for sharing the story with us. We're going to move on to our five questions. You feel ready?
Five questions.
I hope so. Okay.
Molly, you want to start us off?
Yes. Question one. What conspiracy theory do you find the most interesting or compelling?
It's like asking me like what my favorite bird is. All of them.
I know.
That Dale Earnhardt isn't really dead.
Uh-huh. Oh, where do they think he is?
They think he faked his own death.
Like Elvis.
Yes, but it was to help his son become a star without having to be under his dad's shadow.
That's so nice of him.
That's a really nice conspiracy theory. That's really sweet.
And like he had also handpicked Jeff Gordon to kind of, you know, get to the level of fame that he had. But no, he had lined everything up. He had created like, what is it? The Dale Earnhardt, Incorporated. Anyway, he had just created a company. All three of the cars were that company's car. The crash wasn't as bad as some of the others he'd been in, but he just wanted to walk away from it all.
And sure, because why retire when you can fake your own death?
Yeah, that makes so much forever. More sense.
Yeah.
Well, you know, fame is a burden. So he just wanted to relax on his farm or his ranch or whatever it is. But I'm not even into racing. But, you know, on birding trips, you have long drives. And so I love to ask people if they have conspiracy theories. And that one was not one I expected. And I absolutely loved it.
It's like a reverse Avril Lavigne, where they think that Avril Lavigne died and was replaced by a double. It's like that. I mean, like they think he didn't die and he's hiding somewhere.
It's Alabama Tupac. Tim, question number two.
Question number two. What is your ideal 2-week vacation? Money is no object, but physics is a limiting factor.
Do I have to name an exact place or can I just say like
whatever it means? Yeah.
Okay. So my favorite type of vacation, and I've done a couple of these, they're called familiarization tours. And it's where they get people to write about a location. And so you go on these and they book everything. They take care of everything. They show you the best of everything. You don't have to think. You just go along like, there's a giraffe.
Nice.
That's amazing. And they get you drunk.
Local food. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're typically there with other writers from around the world. So it's just refreshing to not be around Americans for 2 weeks. And at night, the tour guides who take you out will get drunk and they will tell you exactly what they think about Americans. And you get another political perspective. But
I bet it's super good. I bet they really like us.
They really love us.
We're awesome. We're winning.
Yeah. Well, I've gotten into some deep conversations. So I did one in Uganda a couple of years ago and I was being taken to task for it because it's legal to kill gay people in Uganda.
Yeah.
And I was talking to the tourism guy and I was like, so how can I write about going to Uganda when a lot of the people I know and even me, because I'm a straight passing by,
preach.
Come here. We had a very real conversation and he said, he's like, the will of the people is not the will of the law of the land here. You know, he's like, is Trump your will?
Right. Yeah. That's really good. That's good to hear.
But he did say that, he's like, you know, we don't like to see anybody's public displays of affection. And he also brought up the point. He's like, do you know one of the reasons why it's so bad here is because churches from the United States are sending these missionaries here and they're pushing this agenda. He said that, you know, so it was a really complex question. And it was just really great to debate, no holds barred. And it's also really great to do it with someone else from another country who doesn't necessarily like my country. So
yeah, that sounds
that's
awesome.
That's my ideal trip.
That sounds great.
Super fun.
That does sound great.
Question three is, what's a movie or a book that changed your life and how or why?
Oh man. So book wise, hands down, it's the Peterson Field Guide to Birds. It is. And this is super cheesy, but can I make it a song instead?
Of course.
Sure.
We've never had that before. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to make it a song. Okay.
What song?
Trying to get that feeling again. By Barry Manilow.
Ooh.
So years ago, even before my last marriage, I was engaged to a man who hated birds. Also was super religious, but was not Christian Science. This is not a story I tell many people. Huh.
This is new to me. I'm excited.
Yeah. So it was one of those relationships, a guy 10 years older than me that met me just as I was graduating high school. And so, you know, for me, it was like, oh, you're different from my family. You're an adult. You can pay for everything. This is great. Mm-hmm. He was really wanting a wife.
I feel this story.
Yeah. And you know, he was like, we don't have to wait for you to graduate college to get married. And I was like, yes, we do. That is that. Yeah, I definitely want that. But anyway, also would say great things like, I can't wait to see you pregnant.
Oh, good.
Cool.
My only excuse was I was 18, that and why I didn't run right away. And this was the point of like, I'm sure like when I'm 30, I'm probably going to want to have a kid. I don't want one now. And I never did. But anyway,
yeah.
So after a year into it, and I'm also in college and I'm in theater, and there's like, wow, I'd like to bang a lot of other people, and this guy won't do anything more than oral because God. Anyway, it just, things were not going well. And I was taking a drawing class, and one day the teacher wanted us to listen to different types of music to see how it affected our drawing. And so she's playing U2, you know, all this stuff. And then this really cheesy song comes on, and it's this guy singing about how, you know, his girlfriend's coming home. Can the doctor give him something to make him feel something? He just really doesn't feel anything anymore. And I'm drawing, and I'm like, oh my God, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
My fiance is coming tonight, and I would rather go to a party tonight than I'd rather do anything. And I was like, what is this song? And everyone's like, this is a stupid Barry Manilow song. and that song changed my life. I broke up with that person that night. I started having all the sex, and I also was just like, I like theater, but I really need to get back into birds again. Cause I kind of,
oh, that's great. From
birds. Yeah. He, one day we got into a huge argument because we stopped at a zoo and I wanted to go into the aviary. And when I came out, he had been cornered by some peacocks. On the drive home, he was very angry at me. And he was like, this is your fault. You went in there, you left me alone, and these peacocks cornered me.
Because you were responsible for the peacocks.
Yeah. I was like, you just wave your arms and they go away. But yeah,
it's so good.
Big, huge mammal with thumbs and a brain and all that jazz and thwarted by peacocks.
These were just some horrible peacocks that wanted to display at him and hopefully get fed. You know,
oh my God, there's zoo. Yeah. Like if I was out in the wild and like, or even someone's cultivated yard and a peacock came at me, I might be like, oh, but like you're in a zoo. There's zoo peacocks. They're totally fine.
They're not going to have peacocks in a zoo, you know.
Oh my God, that's great.
If it was turkeys, like maybe that'd be a different situation, or like geese.
Hang on, are attack peacocks a thing?
Well, I mean, they get really aggressive. I mean, Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's
you a could train them.
Keep them on their property.
Yeah, train them like you know how like pit bulls aren't aggressive dogs, but like they can become good fighters. You could make your peacocks fight, Tim.
There you go.
Okay. They're just noisy as fuck.
Well, then they sound like
question
my cats.
Question four. What's the geekiest thing you've ever done?
I was a trading card in the Geek a Week series.
Oh, that's Ooh, true. I remember oh, yeah. that.
And my number is lower than Neil Gaiman's number.
That's very nice. That's good.
That is super bragging.
No, it was great. The guys saw me. And then, like, this was back in the day when the original Bird Chick tagline was to show the world you can be a birder without being a geek, because birders were considered, this was before geek was chic. And anyway, and he's like, I want you to be part of the set, but you know, you don't want to be a geek. And I was like, I can be a geek. I can change that tagline. Yeah.
You can't be a geek. You're hot, Sharon. Like, it's just, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm in the first series. And the craziest thing with that is that every now and then someone will locate my address and set it's their crazy autograph collectors who collect any autograph. And I'm just like, really? You want mine? Okay, here you go.
It's weird.
That's
it's
awesome. Weird.
That's great.
It is great. Yeah.
It's also I have it framed and hanging in my office at the federal government.
Of course. Ooh, that's right. I forgot. At the federal government.
Federal government employee.
All right, Tim.
Question number five, and it makes sense why I would ask this question. What is your favorite hangover cure?
Vomiting before I go to sleep.
Yeah, that's the Molly way. It used to be cocaine, but now it's vomiting before I go to sleep.
I've stayed away from cocaine because I tried speed once in college and thought it was amazing. And yeah. I was like, this is the best ever. Everything makes sense. I should never do this again because I want to do it all the time.
Correct.
When people will tell me about cocaine, I was like, I don't think so. No.
Correct. There is no doing a little cocaine for a little while.
Man, I feel so much better after I've thrown up. Like I don't, no alcohol necessarily needed. Like, if you have like an upset stomach and you feel nauseated and you can make yourself throw up, you feel like 1,000 times better afterwards. It's great.
It is. It's like the times that I get super drunk all the time. It's like a once at this point, it's kind of like a once every 5 years thing.
Yeah. Mm.
Although last year it was my birthday, but they were extenuating
the whole year.
Yeah. The whole year was your birthday.
It was, It was so bad. Somebody purchased a hotel room with me.
Wow.
And it was like,
growing up's great.
We're in a hotel bar. You just stay in the hotel tonight.
Whenever someone tells me they haven't thrown up in like 20 years or whatever, I'm like, you're missing out. I'm telling you.
You know,
it's good.
I was about to say,
biased history there.
I never throw up.
Tim.
I haven't thrown up since I was a kid. I've never had a bloody nose and I've never thrown up.
Had a bloody nose and I love throwing up.
I mean, it was like literally the last time I threw up was when I had the norovirus. And that was just horrifyingly awful because it never happens to me. So entire conversation is so weird. I'm like, why would that be a good thing? I don't even understand what it's like.
I hate throwing up and I will fight it tooth and nail. And if it's to the point where like I had listeria a couple of New Year's Eves ago. When my body really needs to throw up, like if to avoid a hangover or listeria, it's like, I have completely lost control of my body. It's like, I just suddenly stand up and run to the bathroom. And it's like, what is happening? And then I get to the toilet and it's like, oh, now I know what's happening. And it feels great at the time. But like the slow build nausea stuff that happens, I will fight that. So my body has just figured out, it's like, hide it from her. And then we hit the panic button.
Mine's the opposite. It goes immediately to panic.
Throw up time.
Awesome. Yeah, I wore my new favorite bird shirt too.
What does it say?
Podcast. It says only Gaz can judge me, and this is a goshawk.
Oh.
And that is my favorite hawk.
That's great.
You said goshawks were badass in the show that I directed that Sharon wrote.
Ryan Goshawk.
They are.
There was a line about goshawks and that they're total badasses, and I was like, oh, that's Sharon.
That's awesome.
If they can judge me and if they tell me I'm not a badass, then I have to accept that.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sharon, for your time and for answering our questions and sharing your story with us. Anytime. We're Geeks Without God. If you are a Patreon patron, you could be listening to this episode weeks early.
Or watching it.
If you kick us a couple bucks a month, you might be watching this episode and see all our stay-at-home order glory.
In fact, we have some new Patreon subscribers.
We do.
What? We have Brooke Vitense is one of our new subscribers.
Thanks, Brooke.
She's supporting us. Colin Engstrom just upped their pledge. And so did Freethinker215. Now is a $6.66
the sponsor of the beast.
Gotta love all a theme. Right. Fantastic. So if you want to listen to all this stuff earlier or check out any of the video of this, you can just find us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/geekswithoutgod and check us out there. Otherwise, you can follow us on Facebook or find us on Twitter. And we always appreciate it when someone leaves us a rating somewhere. If it's a terrible rating, that might actually lead someone to want to listen to us more. I don't know. The internet's a weird place. Otherwise, we're Geeks Without God, and we'll have another episode up next week. Bye.
Bye.
You know, I just figured I'd tell my mom when I got to heaven. And
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks,
we're geeks,
we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks,
we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
I gotta pee.
That pretty much happens at the end of every episode.